The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
And this is The Hard Shoulder with Anton in for Kieran. Today is World Autism Awareness Day. Autism, of course, often misunderstood by many, and as we've heard on this programme throughout the years. To discuss this, I'm joined by Adam Harris, who is CEO of As I Am, Keith Walsh, podcasting and PR guru, and Cara Darmody, autism activist. Folks, you're all very welcome.
Thanks so much.
Hello.
Adam, thanks. Let me begin with you, because there is an anniversary worth celebrating. You are 10 years as of this Sunday, As I Am, in existence.
That's right. So, we've been advocating now for over 10 years towards our vision of a society in which every autistic person is accepted as they are, equal, valued and respected. But I suppose this juncture for us isn't really about looking back. It's very much about looking forward and saying, you know, what does the Ireland of the next 10 years look like? Unfortunately, today we published our Same Chance report, which documented the experiences of over 1,700 autistic people across the country, and also presented an Attitudes to Autism poll of a representative sample of 1,000 Irish adults. And it shows that while awareness of autism has never been higher, the reality is there's pervasive invisible barriers that continue to exist for our community in every walk of life. And we need to really, I suppose, have a targeted and concerted effort to remove them so that autistic people can have the same chance in our society.
Can you give us a couple of examples of them?
Absolutely. So I think if we start, for example, I often say that when we talk about our families, the word that they're most used to hearing is no. No, I can't help you. Sorry, I'm not the right person. There's a waiting list for that. And really right across every aspect of life that's captured in the report. First of all, over half of those represented have had to go privately for their assessment. So at that very first juncture, the state services simply aren't existing. We often hear families talk about the system. Really, perhaps we should be talking about the lack thereof. You know, the reality is over half of the community saying the education system isn't inclusive. One in four saying their child doesn't have a suitable school place. Those who do have a school place speaking about reduced timetables, seclusion, restraint. But it's more than just services as well. I think one of the things that was very interesting in our Attitudes to Autism poll this year is we didn't ask directly about autism. So we described those day-to-day social interactions we all have to see how people would respond to the areas where autistic people often have accessibility barriers. Over half of the Irish public don't believe that if you can't sit still and be quiet, that you should go to the cinema or the theatre. 60% of us are uncomfortable having a conversation with somebody who avoids eye contact. Many of us would be disconcerted if a colleague asked us to send them an email instead of giving a verbal instruction. So what we really need to do is the Irish public want to be inclusive, but there is a knowledge gap in terms of applying that in day-to-day life. And that is really essential, because our community say that judgment and attitude, next only to access to services, is the single biggest barrier to inclusion in the community.
On that thing, have you described talking to families and the experience of families of those who may be not neurotypical? Yeah, Cara Darmody is with us, as I said. Cara, it's an unusual thing to ask a woman her age, but in this case, I think it's relevant. You're 13.
Yes, so I'm 13 years old, and I suppose I raised €82,000 for charity and over the last year and a half for people with autism and all that in both my local area. And I also raised money for As I Am. And I think As I Am is great and all that. But I also went to Leinster House 30 times last year to advocate about one of my main issues, which was the lack of private assessment, and that my brother would be one of those. And I don't know if Anne's going to be talking about it later, but look, private assessment is a massive, massive issue in Ireland, that the HSC are treating these kids disgracefully, and that there are over 1 million people in Ireland on waiting lists, and that there are over 18,000 children still waiting to be seen for the first time ever for a private assessment, and that they're being forced to go private, which costs around €2,500, which is absolutely insane. And my brother was one of those. But I think it's wrong, because we convinced the HSC last year that they would pay for Neil's assessment. But it's wrong, because I think they need to do that for every single person in the country. But look, I'll simplify like this. I set a precedent in Leinster House on the 24th of May last year, and I basically got the government to say that they'd pay for all of the private HSC assessments by the 1st of August. But they didn't do it. And the politicians were all the same. They are really nice, but they are all talk and no action. And I think that is just totally and utterly wrong. And I think that And while I'm talking here, I'm calling for a meeting with Simon Harris to discuss this issue, because I think that it's a massive issue and I think that it needs to be fixed. And the government last year promised that the government promised last year.
Sorry, when you say to fix this issue, to fix the lack of availability for private testing, is that correct?
Yeah, basically for the private assessments, that the HSC and the government should be paying for these private assessments, and that people should not have to feel to go down the private route and have to pay €2,500 for an assessment. And I want to meet Simon Harris, because Adam, you're Simon's brother, so you might be a little bit too nice to him since you're brothers, you know. So I think if Simon Harris is listening to this, I just want to let him know that I want to meet him and I want to talk about this.
Tell us a little bit, Cara, about how you got into autism campaigning. Because as you described, to have raised 80 plus thousand euro, to have been at the Dáil 30 something times, it is very unusual for somebody of your age. What got you involved?
Basically, in fifth class, when I was in Arfinnan National School in fifth class, I basically decided to sit the junior cycle ordinary level maths exam for charity. And I raised 40,000 euros that year, because I have two severely autistic brothers. Neil is 11 and John is 7. And basically, they're both severely and profoundly disabled with a severe and profound intellectual disability, which means they can't talk and they don't understand. And that there are thousands of children in Ireland who are just the same as them, but the HSC and the government treats them disgracefully. So I sat the junior cycle maths exam for charity and I got my result live on the Late Late Show, which I got 97% in November 2022. But then last year, I decided not to stop there, but I decided to sit the Leaving Cycle Maths exam for charity. Sorry, the Leaving Cert Maths exam for charity. And I also got 97% on that. And it was ordinary level. But I also raised another 40,000
euros. You got 97% in the Leaving Cert Ordinary Level Maths when you were 12?
Yeah, when I was 12. So I did the junior cycle. I did the junior cert when I was 11 years old. I got 97%. Did the Leaving Cert Maths exam when I was 12 and I got 97% again. And I raised funds for people with autism, including As I Am.
And as you say, 82,000 euro and counting at this point. I mentioned that we have Keith Walsh with us as well. Now, Keith, I was talking to Stephanie Prison earlier on. You have a relatively similar experience to her because you received an autism diagnosis as an adult. How come that came about and what difference did it make to you?
I was going to see a specialist about my son, you know, and he got diagnosed with ADHD. And as we were kind of answering the questions for my son, my wife kept looking at me. And then I got a diagnosis with the psychotherapist and he said, I have ADHD. And then he started talking about ASD and I didn't really understand what he was saying. And at the end of the conversation, I said, what are we talking about there? And he said, well, that's autism. And I said, well, is that, are you telling me that I have autism as well? And he said, yes. And I didn't really know, maybe it's because I'm autistic. I wasn't necessarily shocked, or I didn't know whether I should be shocked or not, or whether it was like, is this okay? Is it not okay? I didn't really know, but it's definitely, that's kind of a year ago now, and changed my life in that I'm much more comfortable in my skin. I'm much more comfortable doing the things that I have a compulsion to do. You know, there's some stimming that I'd gotten under control, I suppose, from when I was very young, from being told to sit quiet and to, you know, stop moving your leg or stop tapping the table or stop doing. And you deal with those things, but it can be quite hard on the body. Like there's a lot of anxiety as well with autism, which I've had to sort of figure out a way of dealing with as well. It's the kind of anxiety that, like, a bit of meditation wouldn't necessarily, sort. You kind of have to go a bit further than that. But I was very happy to hear that, because I thought that my anxiety was so bad that I kind of felt like maybe everybody else felt the same, but other people were coping better. And I thought that if I was anxious, very anxious in a particular space, like say on the radio, if I felt anxious, and I did a lot, but I masked it very well. But I also thought my anxiety was telling me I wasn't good enough to be there. Do you know what I mean?
So, and do you mind me asking, given what Cara was talking about the challenges of people going through private versus public system and access to public assessment, was your own assessment and your son's assessment, was that through a private system? Was that self-funded or was that through HSE?
We were very lucky. It was private. We just had to, there was nothing for it. And the issue with, by the way, Cara for president, I just want to say that.
You're getting a lot. We're getting a lot of texts that are along those lines, saying things like, "This young lady is amazing. Well done to her. Tell her not to lose that fire. That is what eventually brings about some change."
Yeah. After this, don't ask me another question. Just stay with Cara and give her my time as well. We had to pay for it because, like, you know, my son was at a certain age in school, and if we waited the time we had to wait, he would have been into secondary school. He would have been nearly at junior search. So we were like, well, we just got to get it sorted and pay for it somehow, because it's a long time when you're that age to be in school and to be not knowing what's wrong, or not, you know, he doesn't enjoy the school, the classroom. He doesn't like a classroom, the environment, the school. There's too much noise. There's too much for him. He was coming home. He was like, he'd be absolutely shattered. It just wasn't suitable for him. And I think back to the people in my school and the lads that, you know, and ladies and girls who sort of not fell by the wayside, but maybe got in trouble or were seen as troublemakers or seen as, you know, and I think schools, you know, as mentioned already, schools really need to look at, you know, how they're run and how the classroom is run, because we need to be harnessing the talents of the neurodivergent, because, I mean, look, Cara, for example, you know, but other kids don't, they just can't, it's not that they're non-intelligent, it's not that they're not, they don't apply themselves, but they just can't be in that scenario, and okay, their autism is a level that it's not that kind of maybe obvious, you know, to them or to their parents and teachers, you know.
Okay, I want to go back on what we were discussing in terms of the public attitudes and also things like the access to assessment. Adam, when you look at the kind of things that have happened across the 10 years of As I Am, and I should say, by the way, there's a text to say, always a pleasure listening to Adam Harris. He's an inspiration. As a parent of an autistic child, Adam and As I Am have achieved so much in raising awareness, and this has made our quality of life as a family so much better. Keep up the fantastic work. There has undoubtedly been dividends from that fantastic work. Why do you think there is still so much left to be achieved in public understanding and adaptability and in terms of services?
So I think if we take public attitudes, first of all, I think we have to recognise that we're coming from a very low base. You know, when I received my autism diagnosis 20, 25 years ago, the reality was no one was even aware of autism. People would look at you blankly. People certainly didn't think that they interacted with autistic people on a day-to-day basis. So we've gone from that low base and we've achieved the point of awareness. What we really need to do now is build on that into understanding and acceptance. I sometimes feel as a society we've done this move towards inclusion in a very Irish way, which is we haven't had the comprehensive conversation we need to have in terms of educating people. You know, the really good thing I think is that young people sitting in our classrooms across the country today, they grow up to expect inclusion. But what we also have to do is ensure that those young people are given the knowledge they need to be confident in this area, because this is another mainstream diversity and inclusion issue within our society. When we talk about services, I think the reality is we've definitely slid back. And I think, as with so many issues, what we see is the Irish public are far ahead of the government in this regard, in terms of indeed in the Attitudes to Autism poll saying the state must do more. We must have a national autism strategy that's legislated for. We must invest in services. But I think there's a dual challenge. I think number one, we've really seen our services collapse in the face of evolving demographics around autism, and a decade of austerity has had a huge impact in that regard. I think there's
sorry, when you say evolving demographics, does that mean that there is a greater number of people who are calling on those services than we might have expected?
Correct. I mean, when we would have started this advocacy work but 10 years ago, the statistic government used to point to was 1 in 100. Today, we know that the Department of Education reports that 1 in 27 children have an autism diagnosis. That, of course, doesn't include those waiting for those assessments, or indeed who can't afford private assessment. So that's not that there's more autism. It means that the reality is we've gotten a much broader understanding, and we've gotten better at providing that support in terms of actually recognising that there's additional need. But we need to invest so much more to actually achieve that. The reality is, if we provide the right support to the right to the child at the right time, what we're really actually doing is avoiding a situation where a person ends up later in life requiring more support, isolated in the community, experiencing loneliness, experiencing unemployment. There's a reality today that if you're a family of a child in the autism spectrum, it costs an additional €28,000 per year to raise a child due to loss of income, all money going on private therapies. If you're an autistic adult, there's an 80% chance that you're unemployed or underemployed. So we really, really need urgent action. We see what the state is capable of when it really takes that concerted action, but we need to see a coordinated approach across government, and we believe legislating for the autism strategy is key in that regard.
Cara, to go back to you on one aspect of what Adam was saying there, which was about the acceptance changing and societal acceptance improving, though there being more work to be done. What's your experience been with your family interaction with those either in the school or in the community? Do you find that autism is accepted?
I suppose I'll just say it like this. I suppose the government and the HSD, they just treat these kids disgracefully. But I'll just simply describe it like this. The Ireland I live in is brilliant. Like, if I want to do something, I get greatly encouraged and I get all the support from thousands of people and from loads and loads of people. But it's a completely different Ireland from my two brothers. They live in a different place and it's still called Ireland, but it's a different Ireland to them. They get treated completely differently. You could argue that they're being looked down on and that they don't get treated the same way that I do and they don't get the same opportunities that I get. That's how I'll sum it up.
To go back to one thing that we mentioned earlier on, which is, of course, the your brother being Simon Harris Adam. Ironically, when Simon was discussing his ascension to the leadership of Fine Gael and ultimately heading for Taoiseach, he referred back to what originally got him involved in politics, which was campaigning for services for his younger brother, that being you. I assume, first of all, this is a proud time for the family?
Well, I think what I'd say is obviously I'm enormously proud as his brother of all that he's achieved and that he will hopefully become our Taoiseach next week. But I think it's also important to say what I'm very mindful of is that while my brother's job might change a lot on the 9th of April, my job won't change at all. And I think anyone who knows me well will know that obviously I've literally walked this walk my whole life. Obviously, you know, for the last 10 years, my entire adult life, we've advocated strongly on this issue. And that's certainly not going to change. The reality is that we really need to see a delivery for autism. People, and that's bigger than any other issue for me.
Will you be reminding him that if he got into politics to deliver for autism services, he's in a good position to do it now?
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think in the interests of family peace, we'll keep it away from the dinner table.
Adam, thank you very much. That is Adam Harris, Chief Executive of As I Am. Cara Darmody, likewise, thank you very much, Cara. Cara, 13-year-old autism activist, and likewise, big thank you to Keith Walsh, podcasting and PR guru.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.